Hey everyone, I'm back with another episode in our Halloween Countdown 2020. So thank you so much if you're listening again. And as always, if you're a new listener, I hope you enjoy. This is a very special episode because Brianne is back.
Yay!
Hi! Everyone's favorite guest host, at least mine for sure. I wish we were doing this in person, but we're doing this over Zoom. So Everyone keep that in mind with the audio. So we'll be talking about haunted objects this time. And I do have two unsolved mysteries also kind of to put in there.
Stoked.
So if you're new to this, once in a while, we are lucky enough to have Brianne stop by and be my co-host. She's a talented photographer and all around amazing person. So be sure to check out her Instagram at Brianne Marie Photo and head over to her website at briannemarie.photo. Did I get those right?
Nailed it. Yeah, nailed
it. Amazing. Okay. Should we let people know what happened?
Yeah, I think we have to.
Okay. So full disclosure, we've done this before.
A couple days ago.
Yeah. Like not even a full week ago, I think. So we recorded this episode on Zoom, and I will say I don't use Zoom a lot, but through the entire thing, I was checking, making sure, okay, we're still recording, everything's good. There is one story in here that scares the crap out of me. You have heard it already, and it's scared the shit out of you.
Oh, it scared the shit out of me, bothered me again. And when Elise messaged, she's like, it's didn't record. We're going to have to redo it again. And I was like, I don't even want to hear that story.
So thankfully, Brianne only has to hear the beginning part again. I actually rewrote two new parts for the beginning because I'm like, that's tough to get sort of your reaction, you know, to a story if I have to tell you again and you already know. So the first two, Brianne has not heard. The last two stories then, I guess, recorded, so they're fine.
But it's just the middle spooky one.
The middle story, the most terrifying story that I've ever told, heard, read. I'm sure it will be for you too. Brianne will be hearing the first half again, and we're not looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're not looking forward to it. The photos, you guys need to look at the photos as we're talking about it, because I think it's the photos that are really like spooked my memory now.
So unsettling. Okay, so let's get into this episode.
So as you heard, we had some very weird technical issues. I am by no means an expert when it comes to Zoom. However, I feel like this was just really weird. So I can't explain it. I don't know what happened, but I didn't want to retell Brianne the first couple of objects that we talked about that we lost. Obviously, it would be really hard to get that authentic reaction from her. But I also didn't want to leave out those objects because I still think that they're really cool. So I'm going to tell you the stories of these objects. I will have the images up on the blog just like normal. And then we will jump back in with our episode with Brianne. So the first object I'm going to talk about is the bridal doll. This is a story out of the UK. A woman bought three dolls from a thrift store. This was a few years ago, and she very quickly realized that something creepy was going on with one of them. Within a week of having the doll, they had experienced their smoke detector going off inexplicably, floorboards creaking in the hallway, only to realize upon further inspection, everyone was asleep, that there was nothing that could explain those noises. Her husband began to notice small scratches on his legs in the morning. They looked to them like cat scratches, and I can only imagine they don't have a cat, and that's why it was so off-putting. One night, the woman had a dream that this doll was dragging itself across the floor toward her. But shortly after that, a friend of hers stayed the night. This friend happens to be a medium and told her, be careful. Something inside of that doll is not right. Now, after that, the bridal doll was locked away in the shed, in a box. Much to the owner's surprise, however, a few days later, when looking in the shed for something else, she noticed that the doll's necklace was off. Another time, she noticed that the doll was in a different position in the box. So, having had enough, she decided to get rid of the doll and put it up on eBay. She said she even had issues uploading the photos of the doll. The bridal doll has appeared on television twice, and I'll have links to those shows up on the blog for you to see. But anyways, once the doll was gone, the strange occurrences did stop. Now we're going to travel to England and to a beautiful manor called Burton Agnes Hall for our next story about the Screaming Skull. So the story begins in the 17th century. This home was built by a man named Sir Henry Griffith. He had three beautiful daughters. The youngest was Anne Griffith, and she in particular was so excited about this home. She couldn't wait to live in it. They'd been watching the building process, and she seemed to be sort of the one that was most connected, invested, and entranced by this home. In 1620, when the home was almost finished, Anne, who enjoyed wandering the estate and neighboring properties, was on one of her walks when she was attacked by a group of men. They robbed her and beat her viciously. Anne was found alive, but just barely. She was brought back to the home and unfortunately did pass away a few days later. During this time, however, she would go in and out of consciousness, sometimes making sense and other times delirious. In her final hours, she fell into a fever and was distraught about the thought of leaving her family home that she loved so much. So in this desperate state, she asked her sisters to remove her head once she had died and to secure it within the walls of the home. That way, a piece of her would remain forever. Her sisters, in an effort to appease her, agreed. She died a short time after and was buried in the churchyard. Now, they would soon regret not keeping their promise. Their nights were interrupted by moans, bumps, and blood-curdling screams. They tried, obviously without success, to just ignore the sounds, hoping they would cease. But when the disturbances continued, the family, desperate to return to peace, exhumed Anne, removed her head, and brought it into the home. The second it was brought inside, everything stopped, and the home felt like home again. Years later, a chambermaid happened upon the skull in a cupboard and threw it out of a window. That very night, bangs, screaming, and moaning returned and continued until the skull was found and brought back inside. Owners, even years later, were creeped out by the skull of Anne Griffith and buried it out in the garden, thinking maybe if it's still on the grounds and it's in this beautiful garden, she would be happy enough. But those horrific screams began again. It was finally decided that they would place the skull inside of a wall of the home. It's believed, actually, that it is behind the paneling in the great hall. This way, Anne will be happy and peaceful, and the inhabitants and guests will not be faced with her skull in their home. Okay, so now we are going to jump back to our talk with Brianne.
So the first object I'm going to talk about is the Loretto Chapel staircase. In 1872, a bishop named Jean-Baptiste Lamy commissioned and oversaw the construction of a chapel called Our Lady of Light in 1873. A group called the Sisters of Loretto would stay and maintain the chapel. So the original architect was a man named Antoine Mouly, who sadly wouldn't see the project through to the end. He passed away before it was finished. But the only thing remaining was to provide a way to the choir loft. So the challenge in this case was that being a smaller chapel, a staircase would be far too large. So they really didn't want that. It's going to take up way too much space. And it was common at this time for other similar chapels and places like this to have a ladder, but the sisters didn't really like that because due to their attire, who wants to climb a ladder when you're wearing robes and gowns?
Yeah, someone's going to fall down.
Mm-hmm. So the sisters banded together and brought people in to look and propose different ideas, but just nothing worked. So the entire group began to pray to Saint Joseph, the patron saint of carpenters, to please help them find a solution to this problem. Now, legend says, after the ninth day of prayer, a visitor arrived with a mule and carpentry tools to their front door. So they invited him in, told him of the dilemma with their choir loft. He told the sisters that he could build a staircase that would be both functional and not take up too much space, be pleasing to the eye. Everything basically answered their prayers.
Okay.
So he had one condition, however, that he needed complete privacy to work in. So when he was working, they could not be there. You look very skeptical right now. You're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Why do you need the chapel to yourself?
So the sisters were desperate and eager to provide him with whatever conditions he needed to get this work done. So he worked in complete privacy, and the sisters, while they saw wood soaking in tubs and tools around the property, they really never saw him. When the staircase was finished, they were so happy. It was beautiful, this spiral staircase, and they wanted to throw a big banquet in honor of this carpenter. But this is when it was discovered that he was gone. In talking with each other, they began to realize he hadn't actually told them his name or received payment for the job. So this wasn't the only weird thing. So I'm going to show you some pictures. Okay, so first, this is the chapel.
Wow.
So pretty, right? Gorgeous. Just beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so next, beautiful. This is, I think, just like a miniature, but basically shows one way that they do it. So the first one you can see, there's a support beam or pole in the center, providing support for the steps around, right? So that's pretty typical. Now, the next one, this one shows that there's no support beam in the center, but you see ones on the side. It's a little bit hard to see, but there's ones on the side. So it's like holding it up. There's support beams, right?
Totally.
Now let's look at the Laredo staircase.
Weird, but so pretty.
Beautiful. So
how are they staying like that?
Okay, so this is the picture of the Laredo staircase. So two things we just spoke about. There's no center column and there are no support beams. Along with that, no nails or glue was used at all.
What?
Right? Although I did read, they said that nails weren't typical at that time. So I guess that's not that weird, but only wooden pegs were used. It was also constructed originally with no railings at the time. They were added later. And legend has it also that the nuns were so terrified to go down the stairs from 22 feet in the air that they would actually crawl down the stairs backwards because they were terrified.
Oh, that's a sight in the mind.
Yes. So I'll show you a quick picture of what it looked like with no railings and then after with the railings. So just so you can kind of see, because it's hard to picture. We don't really see that a lot. That is
terrifying.
Terrifying, right? And I mean, that wasn't like original. This was probably when they were redoing something. And then you can see in the center, there's obviously an older picture of, you know, some people from the choir coming down the stairs. And then the one on the right is a more recent picture. So it's beautiful, though.
It's stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm. So something else that was strange about this is there are only 33 steps, but the stairs revolve two full 360 degree times. Seemingly impossible. A lot of things, right? And for one man to do it by himself. So the sisters were convinced that this was Saint Joseph himself who came to them and built this staircase and then disappeared. Right. So people have nicknamed them the Saint Joseph staircase or the Miracle staircase. And apparently it was also found that the wood used was not local to the area and no one could track this man down again. Many people have come to the chapel over the years to marvel at this staircase. So there was a historian who did 7 years worth of research on this staircase. She says that they did find an entry in 1881 that's in like the nuns' bookkeeping that said that they did pay a man for wood. She also found an old newspaper article saying that this man had been shot and killed. But said in this article that he had been the one to build the stairs. He was a carpenter. So okay. She believed that he was a member of a French secret society.
Ooh.
Of tradesmen. Is that crazy? I didn't even know something like that existed.
Well, I feel like the Freemasons, right? Like originally, weren't they like tradesmen?
Maybe.
The word Mason with trades. I don't know.
Could be. Mm-hmm. If anyone's a Freemason or knows anyone, my grandpa was actually, but I don't know. They believe that he could have come and had the wood shipped from France, which would have made sense. So while the mystery of who built the staircase might have been solved, the oddity of the actual construction has still remained a mystery to this day. It's been featured on like Unsolved Mysteries and a bunch of different like shows. So yeah, that was kind of a fun one. Not scary, right? We're not terrified. Yeah,
I love that. It's so beautiful too.
It's beautiful. And yeah, it just seems I don't think there's anything else like it in the world.
No.
Okay, so the next item is not a happy one.
Oh, good, good.
So the next item I want to talk to you about is something called the Dark Mirror.
Oh, God.
Now, this and the next object, which is the crone, which we mentioned in the intro, are both from the Paranormal and Occult Museum, which is a traveling museum. So I'll talk a little more about them with the next object, but the mirror was donated by a woman who wishes to remain anonymous. She and her mother had gone to a psychic expo, and her mom was drawn to a black mirror. I've never heard of these, have you?
No.
Okay. So this is likened to like a crystal ball. So people use it with the art of something called scrying. Again, I don't know if I'm saying that correct, but have you heard of that?
Scrying, I think so.
It's like it means seeing or a second sight. So like looking into the future or communicating with the dead, right?
Got it.
Like in ancient times and maybe even more modern times too. But some people would even use like a bowl with reflective water.
Yes.
Right? Like a reflective surface. So the black mirror is just another tool in this type of medium practice. And I guess they're a little bit more popular. I've never heard of it, but interesting.
Cool.
Okay. So her mother did buy this black mirror that she had been drawn to. In the weeks that followed the expo, her mother became very distant. And all this while she was practicing with the mirror. So when the person was able to talk to her mother on the phone, she was very negative and she sounded almost vacant.
Hmm.
She eventually told her daughter that she believed something was wrong with her mirror and she wasn't successful in the scrying. After a while longer of her mother becoming more and more distant, she finally visited her mom, demanding to see the mirror. Her mom was really upset and took it from a closet where she'd been keeping it, and it was wrapped in a black veil.
Oh.
She asked her why she was keeping it like that, and her mother burst into tears, telling her that it was evil. And this was just, I think, a few years ago. Like, this is
a recent. Really?
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Oh, no.
So her daughter took the mirror with her and kept it in a box with the cloth wrapped around it and then donated it to the museum. So the first exhibit that the museum had after this, they brought the new object to sort of test it out, see if anything would happen. And the experiences were troubling.
Oh, no.
So one thing that this museum prides itself on is when you go to an exhibit, you can hold, test, experiment, anything basically with the objects. But they have to sign a waiver because you do it at your own risk. Because people have had things attached to them, right? So after sharing the history, a woman decided to test it out. She grabbed the mirror, took the veil off, and looked in the mirror. Her expression quickly changed to horror, and she slammed it down on the table.
Whoa.
The museum director asked her what she saw, and she said, "I saw my own decomposing corpse staring back at me."
Oh.
"That is a dark mirror. I shouldn't have done that. I need to say a prayer. Excuse me." And she left.
Oh.
So this is where the mirror gained its name, the Dark Mirror. Now, that wasn't the only experience from the day. Far from it. The experiences ranged from strange visions strong senses of dread, and warped faces. Near the end of the night, a woman pressed her palm to the mirror. Then she obviously, upset by the thought of her print remaining on the mirror, began to polish the surface in an attempt to clean it off. Her palm print would not go away. She also claimed to have seen herself as dead. And eventually, after 2 hours of standing at the booth trying to remove her print, she threatened to smash the mirror. And it was then that her print disappeared. Right? So that was a hell of an introduction to the public and to the owner. The owner also said that he found himself drawn to the mirror and staring off into space a lot around it. And then when he'd sort of snap out of it, he'd realize he was staring at it.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. So the next event they went to about a month later, they had even more experiences. While setting up, some of the event organizers came over to take a peek at the table. The mirror was talked about, and a skeptic in the group said she would look in it. She, like many at the last exhibit, looked creeped right out, like seconds after looking into it.
Wow.
She said that her reflection's mouth was moving as if it were whispering to her. But, but everyone around her vouched that her mouth was still. So the night started, and reports coming in this time seemed to intensify from the month prior. A very large and imposing type man decided to take a peek. He was laughing it off, not expecting anything from it. That's bullshit. Nothing's going to happen. He looked into the mirror only to stagger backwards moments later, almost dropping the dark mirror. He described seeing a figure that looked exactly like himself peer around his image before walking away.
Whoa.
Some other experiences are people seeing black masses hover near their left shoulder. People will also see themselves age in the mirror up to 40 years. And during a live broadcast, a host decided to look into the mirror. And he saw his face distort into a twisted grin. So that recording, I believe, is out there. I'll try to find it and link it on the blog. But you can hear him look into the mirror and then freak out about it. Another common thing is feeling physical effects. So people will get the feeling of like electricity coursing through them as if from coming from the frame. And apparently people even rub their arms after because it hurts.
Wow.
There are reports of headaches, and one woman described the taste of blood in her mouth.
Yeah, that's a dark mirror for sure.
Yeah. So the museum curator also described the mirror uncovering itself in the night. Even setting up a camera and capturing the veil falling to the floor at night off of the dark mirror. Also, weirdly, the SD card to his camera was corrupted after a week of recording the mirror at night. So, Brianne, would you look into the mirror?
Fuck no.
Never.
But you can't smash it.
No.
No, there's like something attached to that. Yeah. What do you do with this thing now?
And this, the museum curator, I think they leave it on like their mantle.
Oh my God.
I don't know. This one's pretty crazy.
You've got a pretty dark collection, that family. Oh,
for sure.
Well, that's all, everyone. So this is it for part one of Histories and Mysteries. So come back on Tuesday and you can hear part two. Yes, part two has the creepy object that we are convinced gave us some technical difficulties. So make sure that you come back for that episode. If you have not checked out Brianne's amazing photography, please check it out. She is so damn talented. I will, of course, have all links to her social media on my website. If you want to shoot me an email, please do at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to be doing a follow-up episode on some of the past stories that we've talked about, and also sharing some listener submissions that I've been getting. So if you have something to submit, whether you're Canadian or not, it doesn't matter. You can absolutely send me your story at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook, both at realscarypodcast. Now, you'll definitely want to check out those pages today to see how you can enter to win one of the Halloween prize packs. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.